Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you and welcome to Royal Daughters. This is Sister Debbie. Blessings, blessings. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you to have your will and your way. Say what you want to say. Heavenly Father, move me all the way behind the cross, God. I thank you, Lord, I ask you to bless your people, your listeners, Father God, from all over the world, God. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving me this grand opportunity, Father, as I hide myself now and humble myself before you in the name of Jesus. There is a scripture. There is a scripture that I want to go to, and it's found in Deuteronomy 7. We're going to start there. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to go over there with me as I go ahead and get my hands on this particular scripture, Deuteronomy 7 and 7. Praise the Lord. While I'm pulling that one up, let me kind of give you a little indication of what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about what's going on in our culture right now, and I would love dealing with the root. I don't want to deal with the fruit. I want to deal with the root. I was listening to a man of God today talking about the Baals and talking about Asherah and talking about Moloch, and so I want to get into a little bit of that, but not much of that, because I want to talk about the God that we should worship, the God who is worthy of praise, amen, and glorious and worthy to be praised. I want to talk about that God, the Almighty God, the all-knowing God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great God, the great I Am. That's the Lord that I want to talk about. So I want to talk about this great and high and holy God, Jesus Christ the Lord, the Savior of all, amen. But I want to talk a little bit about what happened to the Israelites. What was it about the Israelites? God chose the Israelites to be the chosen people. They're the chosen people today, amen. I want to go ahead and I want to hold on to Deuteronomy 7:7. Let me move forward and give him some more glory. I want to go ahead and talk about his name a little bit more. He's Abba, he's Advocate, Advocate, he's Almighty, All in All, Alpha, Amen, Ancient of Days, Anointed One, Apostle, Author, Eternal Salvation, Apostle, Arm of the Lord, Author of Our Faith, Author of Peace, Avenger. He's beginning. He's the Bishop of Souls. Come on, need I say more? The Blessed and Holy Ruler, Branch, Bread of God, Bread of Life, Breath of Life, Bridegroom, Buckler, Bright Morning Star, Captain of Salvation, Chief Shepherd, Carpenter, Chosen One, Christ, Christ of God, Christ the Lord, Christ, Son of the Living God, Comforter, Commander. We can go on and on. We can go one for every single solitary letter of the alphabet. Day, Spring, Elect One, Faithful One, Faithful Witness, Faithful and True, Father, Gentle, Whisperer, Gift of God, Head of the Body, Head of the Church, High Priest forever. I am a man, image of God, Jealous, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Judge, King, Keeper, King, King of all, Kings, King of Saints, Lamb of God, Last Adam, Lawgiver, M, Maker, Majesty on High. Come on, let's go to N. Nazarene, O Offspring of David, our Peace, P, Physician, Proprietor, Purifier, Quickening Spirit, R, Refiner's Fire, Refuge, Resurrection, S, Savior, Servant, Son of David, T, Teacher, My Lord, Truth, Vine, W, Wall of Fire, Way, Amen, Y, Yah, Z, Hey, He's the Zealous, you're going to be zealous for Him when I get finished going through all these alphabets. He is a worthy Lamb, the one who was slain before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So now here was the one and true God, the only God, the Yahweh Elohim, the one true God, the living God, the almighty God, the omnipotent God. And so what was the problem? What was the problem? What was going on that Israelites could not obey God? What was going on? Well, the same thing was going on with them. The same thing that goes on with us. We have a free will, and so the enemy is everywhere. Satan is the god of this world, and he comes to do what he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so anytime that we aren't girded up, built up, strengthened up in the word of God, the devil just coming in like a sneaky snake and come and lie to us and deceive us to get us off target and off track from worshiping the true and living God. I want to talk a little about the word worship. What am I talking about when I say the word worship? Let's look at the etymology of the word worship. The most commonly cited definition of the word worship is based on the etymology of the English word. Worship is derived from the old English word worth-ship. So when we worship God, we're proclaiming or giving Him back His worth. And this is taken from thinkingworship.com, definition for worship. Then a little bit more into the term. The variety of individuals who use this as their functional definition of worship is staggering. When I searched for blogs on the topic of worship, the most common title I came across was worship is, and nearly all of these blog entries finished that sentence using with giving God His worth. And so I'm reading again. I'm reading from thinkingworship.com. I'm going to read up a little bit more. Plenty of worship practitioners use this definition. Most theology of worship books make reference to it. Even New Testament writes in his book, for all God's worth uses it. So we should worship the only and one true God. The Israelites were commanded to worship the one true God. When Moses gave them the Ten Commandments, that was one thing. They were to worship God and no other God. They were to worship God. If we were to go to the Ten Commandments in Exodus 10, I believe, let's go over there and look at the Ten Commandments real quick. As I'm going over to the Ten Commandments, you can as well. Some people think the Ten Commandments have been done away with, but Jesus Christ came to fulfill them, and he did also. He said to worship the Lord thy God with thy whole, to love the Lord thy God with thy whole soul, heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And he fulfilled both laws in two. Amen. He fulfilled the Ten Commandments by complete those two, and you complete all of them, right? Because you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to do the other ten things it talks about in Exodus 10. I believe it's in Exodus 10. I want to go over there real quick. If you're already over there, hold on until I get there. I'm really feeling Exodus 21, but I'm going to go to Exodus 10 and see what's going on with that real quick. All right, you all, I'm going to slide on over to Exodus 10. Give me a few minutes. It's been a while since I've looked at the Ten Commandments, so give me a little bit of time here. All right, so Exodus 21, I'm going to move on down to, it's been a while. Okay, so my point is just to look at the first commandment that God gave. Let me just put the law of commandments. Give me a minute. I'm putting this in my computer real quick. How about this? Ten commandments. I bet if I put ten commandments in it, that's going to come up, right? All I want is the first commandment, and I know that's worship the Lord my God, but I want to get it exactly right, exactly the way the Lord said to do it. We're not going to have any other idols before him. Let me pull it up. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. All I want to do is look at number one. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. And so the Israelites, the Jews, were given this commandment from Moses as God wanted to make a way to have a covenant, have a relationship with the Jews so they could, the people of God, the Israelites, so they can come into covenant with him, so they were able to relate to him. He always wanted to relate to him. That was always God's plan, always God's desire, always God's heart. The man sinned, that relationship was broken, but God was still pursuing man, still loved God. Man still wants to bring man back to him. So here God was, the holy God, wanted to have a covenant relationship with man, and so he wanted to tell them what they needed to do in order to have that relationship with him, because he's holy and he loves us, right? And so the first commandment, so important, so impertinent, and what I want to talk about as far as worship, talking about worshiping the one true God, and want to understand not only how the Israelites fail, but how we fall and how we fail when we don't put God first, we don't obey God, we don't worship God, because God commands us to worship him. Amen. All right, let's talk a little bit first. Again, I already kind of laid a little premise when I talked about who God is. I told you he's a holy God, he's a righteous God, he's an eternal God, he's a just God. I'm adding some more because he's got so many names, right? He's the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, he's the great I Am, he's a wonderful counselor. You go on and on and on as you begin to study and look at the names of God and the word of God. And so we have this God who loves mankind. We have this, God who loves Israel. And he doesn't just love Israel, he loves all men. Israel's were to be models for the world, to reach others, to bring others to the gospel, to teach others about the love of God and who this true and one, the true and one God was. That was really their calling, to let the world know that God wants to come into covenant with them. God wants to come into relationship with them. God wanted to know all these people. Well, God wanted all these people to know him. And so he was going to use the Israelites, the Jews, and he was also going to use them too, because the Messiah would come through that line. The Messiah would come through the line of the Israelites, right? Of the Jews. And so now I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about the Lord is kind of diverting me. Let me go ahead and follow his lead, all right? He did, I think he did let me know, say, you know what, I'm going to spend some time talking about my name. So let me go with that flow right there. Kind of put a little, you know, marker on going into Israel a little bit. I might get to share a little bit thing about how much God loves them. That's really kind of what I got on my lap here. But I'm going to move that to the side. I'm going to flow with God and what he wants to say. And so God wants you to know that he's the almighty God. He's the all-sufficient God. He's your refuge and his strength. He wants you to depend on him. And that's what this is really about. This is about the fact that God wants you to look to him and no other God. And so that's a real important point. So, okay, well, now I'm going to what I want to talk about. Amen. Praise God. So let's just lay that little foundation right there. Very important. That's what God wanted the Israelites to know, that he's the one and true God. And this is the God that loves them. Not only is he Elohim. Elohim means God, but Elohim could also mean any God. But he made it real specific and real personal. He says, I'm Yahweh Elohim. And so Satan is always trying to take God's glory. So he's always trying to mimic and do exactly what God said. So, like, we can have Jesus Christ as Lord, and he's Lord. So right next to him is the devil lying, talking about Baal, and Baal means Lord, and that's the false God. So I'm just saying, he tries to line up all this little stuff right next to the true and living God, which is the lie. So you got to really know your Bible. You're going to be real confused. You got to be in the Word of God. God says he cannot lie, and you got to stay. You know, God says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You got to stay with it, or you're going to get real confused. You're going to really get it all twisted. Stay in the Word of God. That's your manual. That's your God. That's your commandment. That's your testament. It's blood bought. Okay? He signed it with his blood, basically. He signed it and sealed it and gave it to you. It's a covenant, his love coming to you. And so I now want to talk about the love covenant. I want to talk about the love covenant, how this one true loving God, this one true almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, loved Israel, and him trying to get this message to them and him pursuing them. So kind of bear with me. Point two, one is that God is the Lord. Amen. Point one is God is the Lord. He is to be worshipped. Worship means worthy. We need to show him his worth of who he is. We have to give him, ascribe him his worth for who he is. Point two, God wants a love covenant with Israel. God wants a love covenant with you. A love covenant, here we go. A love covenant, loving the one who loves you. God is love. God created us for a relationship with him. God wants us to represent him and be models. God wants us to bring him glory or bring glory to the world. I'm sharing this information now, and I'll give you a little information a little bit at the end. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number. Here's Deuteronomy 7:7. I might read a little bit more. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. You were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That's Deuteronomy 7:6-8. Okay, it says emphasis were added. It says not because they were so good. Matter of fact, they were the least of the least. And if you go to Ezekiel 16, I love Ezekiel 16. I mean, anytime you want to talk about how God has met us where we are, you can always go to Ezekiel 16, which is found in the Old Testament. Lord wants me to put it. Little pointer in here. God is saying he's pursuing you. So, you know, I want you guys to listen up. God's saying he's pursuing you. As it comes, I'm giving it to you. It's flowing. It's rolling. I'm getting them kind of words. They're flowing to me. I'm giving them to you. Amen. All right. So 16 and 3. I'm going to read 16 and 3. 3 says, and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are of the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things to you out of compassion for you. Amen. So the Lord is wanting them to know that he was God Almighty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who've always loved them. And he was letting them know, the Israelites, they were cast out into the open field. Nobody favored them. They were despised. But here God was passing by them and saying, I loved you. I pitied you. And so then we're going to find the transition that God takes the people through. All right, let me go ahead and read a little bit more. I'm just trying to really hear the Lord. I'm just kind of seeing what the way the Lord wants to go with this. God is just ministering. He wants to minister, want me to minister a little bit to you to let you know that he loves you with an everlasting love, and he has not forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. Amen. Verse 4. All right, 4 again is, as for your birth, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things to you out of compassion for you, but you were cast out on the open field, for you were abhorred on the day that you were born. Verse 6, and when I passed by you and saw you wallowing in your blood, I said to you, in your blood live. And so God is saying to us, in our blood live. God is saying to us, in our wretchedness live. God is saying to us, in our sin, he's saying live. He ain't saying go to hell. He ain't saying get under my feet. He ain't saying get away from me. No, God is saying live. And so you got to understand that God is not condemning you. God is saying that he loves you. He's always loved you with an everlasting love. He's always been pursuing you, always running hard after you. He's running after you right now. He's saying, look, come to me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I've been trying to get your attention. Hello, hello. Satan be trying to, you know, deceive you. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ said he's come that you might have life and have more abundantly. So now I'm going to go back to my second point again, the God who pursues and the God who wants a covenant with you. So write David Trabig. God chose the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for a special purpose. He offered them an opportunity to become the model nation of his way of life for all nations so that all people could have his blessing. He blessed Israel because of the faith and obedience of Abraham, but he made it clear it wasn't because they were great or righteous. And so I just read that in Deuteronomy 7:7-9. It's also found in 9-6. And so we have this God that loved us, not because we're so good, not because we're so righteous, not because we got it going on. No, it's because of his goodness, because of his love, just because of who he is. It's his personality. God is love. If you read the Bible, you're going to find out what the Bible says, that God is love. Amen. And so as I'm reading now, it says, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number. Remember, I'm reading Deuteronomy 7:7 again, number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. Anybody who felt like they were the least? Well, that's okay. God still loves you. God can work with least. It's okay. And he said, you great in him, in Christ. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeem me from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So I feel the Lord right now, he's ministering on this word right here. It says, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your father, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand. And so I want you to know that God is bringing you out of with a mighty hand. And some of you guys are in prison and God or in jail, and God is going to bring you out with a mighty hand. God is going to get them to work with those that paperwork and sign it and deal with it. Amen. He's going to bring you out of a situation with a mighty hand. Some of you guys are stuck in prostitution. Your pimp is doing something. You know, you got to get out of that situation. So God's going to bring you out. You want to get out with a mighty hand. Some of you guys are stuck on them drugs and, you know, sticking the needles in your arm. God can bring you out. God wants to bring you out with a mighty hand. God wants to bring you out of your prisons. He wants to bring you out of those cells. He wants to bring you out of those wrong, those corrupt marriages where somebody's beating you down. I see somebody getting beat in the head. God wants to bring you out with a mighty hand. So allow the Lord to love on you. Allow the Holy Spirit, allow his power to pull you out with a mighty hand. Amen. And right now, there's even a child that's crying that's listening to me. Baby, Jesus loves you. He hears your cry. I see a little face, too. He loves you, baby. Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. Just say Jesus, precious. As you lift up your hand, you're trying to talk, say Jesus, baby. Even say it in your heart. Amen. God, redeem and protect that child in the name of Jesus. I bind serpents and snakes away from it. Cover the baby in your child, and your blood can't minister anything about the baby now. And bring the baby up to yourself and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, and let me go keep reading. Hallelujah. So the Lord is saying he loves you with an everlasting love. It's not about your righteousness. Amen. It's about him. Yes, God loves us with his, with God. Let me read this again. Yes, God loves us like he loves Israel. I want to share a few scriptures with you. Let's look at God's heart towards Israel. So here's some other scriptures with God's heart towards Israel. Ezekiel 6:8. He spoke life over her when she was rejected and despised. All right. And I read Ezekiel 16:8 already. So I'm going to go ahead and pull that on through. I'm trying to see. Oh, Hosea 11:1 says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. That was such a pertinent scripture, but the baby that God just ministered to through me, amen. I saw in my mind's eye, a little baby. Amen. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. 3, yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arm. Isn't that some of the Holy Spirit? I didn't know the scripture was next. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness. And so God is leading you with cords of kindness. God is calling on you. God is wanting to deliver you away from those snakes and serpents that are trying to pull you down. We got to bind them, demonic spirits and serpents and snakes. I cast them off of you in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you. Be saved. The Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I speak life to you according to Romans 10:9. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. It's in Romans. That's in Romans 10. So here it is. The Lord is saying, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them. God is bending down to reach you. A lot of times you say, I'm trying to reach up to God. I'm trying to get off this drug addiction. Honey, God is reaching down to you, though. But God is the one that's reaching down to you, because there ain't no way we can save ourselves. I just read to you. I just told you we were like somebody thrown out in the open field, naked and uncovered, all before the Lord. We couldn't even help ourselves. We was like, well, I'm just, in our own blood. You ever seen somebody just kind of trying to, stay alive or like a fish out of water? We was like that, needing water. We were needing God. God had to put the water. God is a living water. He had to come to us. And so that's what God is saying. That's what God is doing. He's saying God bent down to us. And God bends down to you. Salvation is Jesus Christ coming down for you and saving your soul. God wrapped himself in Christ. He wrapped himself and he came and he died for you and paid the price for you because you couldn't help yourself. And this is the God that loves you. This is the God that's calling you. This is the God that is drawing you to him right now. He's using me just as a vessel. Amen. And share the word of God. And so God is just ministering to you that he loves you. He said again that he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he said he be not far from you. He be not far from you. Some of you, I see somebody hiding behind rocks. I don't know what that's about, but I speak the peace of God over you. God be over them right now. Can't minister to angels about them. Angels of protection right now. God is your refuge. Matter of fact, let me say, how are you saying it, Lord? I am your refuge and your strength. So God is your refuge and your strength. Amen. You're an ever-present help in trouble. Amen. And so God doesn't want you to fear. God doesn't want you to be afraid. And also, you're not insane. You're not crazy. I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Cast the spirit of fear off of you. I bind that spirit. I send it back to the pit of hell. And you will go and pursue all that God has called you to pursue. And I really feel like I see brilliance or a doctor or some kind of genius. Some brilliance there. So listen, hold on to what God's placing you. Cast off all the lies and go pursue God. You need to pursue Jesus. Pursue Christ. Study the Word. I want you in the New Testament. Go to the Bible and see what the Word has to say to you. Amen. All right. So I'm reading about Jesus Christ. Second point. I think I'm on my third point. first was who God is. Second is God is pursuing a love relationship with you. And then third, I think I talked a little bit about Israel being a model. God wants us to be a model for him. God wants us to go and minister to others and let them know about his love. We need to be a model to the nation, representing. You see, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he's the true Lord of Lords, not Baal, not Asherah, not any of these false gods and pagan deities and all that. That's fake and that's false. It's the devil trying to be like God, but he's the seed. He's under our feet. Really, we have all authority. Jesus Christ gave it to us. Amen. I'm just trying to see. I feel like the Lord wants me to go to, I'm really feeling Matthew 28. In 19, it talks about the Great Commission, because we as Christians, for those of you that are believers, amen, I thank God for everyone that's listening, amen, I pray that you will become saved. Matthew 28 tells us, I know you guys are trying to keep up with me, I talk fast, I gotta slow down, okay, that's what I have to work on too. All right, so let me go ahead and pull that up real quick. Matthew 18, 19 says, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So our job as models is to be disciples and reach a mankind for Jesus Christ. Like I was saying about Jesus Christ being the King, he's Yahweh Hamilek, and that means King. He is the King, okay? He's the one and true King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so our job is to decree and declare who he truly is, the true and living God, amen? And then to defy it and tell the devil to get back under your feet where he belongs. Jesus Christ tried to defeat the devil. So don't be spending no time in no Ouija boards, no devil worship, and no voodoo, and all that junk. Cast that devil out of your mind and get in the Word of God and to be set free, and your family to be set free, your generation to be set free, and you can find out why he made you, according to Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In Jeremiah 29:11, another translation, he tells us, for I know the plans, and I want to pull that up too. If you guys want to pull that up while I'm looking for it, Jeremiah 29, let me go there really quick. Jeremiah 29, I'll do the King James Version. I don't think it matters right now. I'm going to go there really quick. It says, for I know the thoughts, that's thoughts. I want to get plans. Let me go ahead and get, see, different translations. And the one I want is the one that says, for I know the plans. Plans, okay, y'all. So I'm looking at it. That's real specific to let you know that God has a plan for you guys. You won't be like, dang, I'm wasting my life. But guess what? If you're not following Jesus Christ, guess what? You've been wasting it. Guess what? You don't have to keep wasting it. Listen, I was wasting mine too, and I don't want to waste it no more. So what am I saying? Just repent right now. Ask God to forgive you right now. Repent of all your sin and just turn towards Jesus Christ. Get on the good foot. Who's saying that? Get on the good foot and follow God. Look, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I'm reading Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. So we have to trust God. God cannot lie. Satan is lying, the father lies. Okay, remember I told you, always be, he be trying to be like God. So he's everything God say good, he say bad. And then he's trying to make himself look like God. So you got to be really getting that word so you'll be able to discern between the two. Otherwise, you're going to get all confused. The devil's going to try to beat you up upside the head, talk to you in your mind, and get you all confused. You got to stand the word of God. Get yourself a holy Bible. Get yourself a Bible, you know, a Bible that you can read so you can understand what God is saying to you, because I don't want you to be deceived, okay? All right, when you stand the word of God. I'll try to see the Lord. I think he wants me to read. Daddy, what you telling me? Thank you. What are you taking me to? All right, so Ephesians 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5:13. Let's see what's going on. Something's going on with me in Ephesians. I'm going to go over there really quick. I know I'm all over the place, you guys. Sometimes it happens, what it is, too. I'm trying to follow God. I'm trying to, so we're going to see what what's going to happen with this message. All right. I hope you guys are getting something out of it. Okay, so let me go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and go to New International Version and see what's going on. Ephesians 5 says, I'm going to go down to, did I say 13 or 18? I don't know if I said it. Well, let the 8 stick out first. For you were once darkness, but now you light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And so what I really want to get into, like I talked to you all earlier, I want to talk about Baal and Asherah and Molech and all of that. But generally, this is to all of us as well. Follow the one and true God. So when Satan, he's always trying to come and whisper some crazy stuff in your ears, you don't need to listen to him, okay? Baal worship, that's all that sexual stuff and all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world right now to get you diverted, to get you all messed up, jacked up, end up offering your kids to Molech, which is through abortion, killing them. Then you'll have regrets because it's a demonic cycle to destroy you and your family. Okay, it's a demonic system. Cast that system out. Get on God's system and win. Win on God's system. Bind the devil. Cast him out of your life and out of your generation's life. Some of you guys may have even had that in your family. Repent of it for your family and cast that generational curse of worshiping the devil and worshiping the false gods out of your family. That demonic spirit, that spirit of Baal and Molech, all of those demonic spirits. Some of you might even be aware of it. Let me read something real quick. Let me see what the Lord's going to do, how the Lord's going to take me with this. It says, the more, I think I read this earlier. We're talking about Hosea 11:1. When he said, the more they were caught, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to their Baals and burning offerings to idols. So that's what had happened with Israel. A lot of times their enemies were overcoming them, and the Babylonians and stuff, they were fighting against them because they were not obeying God. They weren't keeping God's laws, and some of them were worshiping false gods and turning towards idolatry. And so, listen, America, to me, it was, you know, as I'm learning more and more and even, like, studying, getting to study more and more, and we worship the same false gods. I don't. The devil is alive. I'm like, Lord, if that's the enemy, take it out. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. So we're going to end this time and just renouncing these false gods, these Baals, these sexual demons that cause you to be in that sexual perversion and prostitution. This all this stuff comes from false deities, you guys. All this stuff comes from demons, worshiping demons. Remember I tell you worship, where to worship. Worship means to show worth to God, and that's the one true God. The devil wants you to worship him. That's the real bottom line of this, okay? You're doing all this like sexual perversion, doing this stuff that ain't got nothing to do with the word of God. You're not following God's way of doing things, because the devil's always going to come with his way of doing things. Yeah, he will mess you all the way up. Your family line will be jacked up. Guess what? You can repent for yourself and your family line and get right with God. And so what I want to say is, God, we repent, God, of worshiping false gods, idols, God, false deities, God, idolatry, God, witchcraft, divination, Satanism, whatever has been on our family line, we renounce it. We're divorcing. We have to cut the cords of it, Father. Jesus, we turn to you, Lord God, according to Romans 10. I'm going to go to Romans 10, because now we want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be set free. Amen. Jesus Christ, you said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed, Jesus. And so, Lord God, we turn to you, God, asking to cleanse us and purge us and purify us. You've always pursued us, God. And so the one we pursue, we look to, we receive and accept the one who has pursuing us. And we say, yes, God, we turn to you. We open up our hearts to you, Father, according to Romans 10, God, and 8. It says, what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Lord, let me know I'm reading too fast. Let me slow down. Verse 8 or 9, Lord. 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So what the Lord was highlighting to me as I was saying that Scripture was shame. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So the Lord wants you to know there's no shame in him. Hey, anybody see the Lord, you his child, ain't no shame. What's somebody going to condemn you for what? God was he's the Alpha and the Omega. He was before they even said a word. God already saw you from the beginning. God said that he knew you before you were born. So now what they got to say? Absolutely nothing. Their words fall to the ground. Hold on to the word of God. Get a Bible. Get in a good Bible believing church. Get baptized. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you even now. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ, after you've asked him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, according to Romans 10:9. Ask him to lift up your hands and ask him to come and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that I might speak in tongues, other languages to you, Heavenly Father, empower and build myself in the Spirit. The devil can't even understand what I'm saying. God, I give you glory. I give you praise. I thank you for this word, God. May people be empowered and blessed to know that you're the one true God, that your love is always pursuing us, and into a love covenant. Would it be modest for you, Lord God? We're not to worship the Baals of the world, earth. We're supposed to worship the one and true and living God. We will save, get saved, we give our lives to you. Amen. And serve you all the days of our life, us and our generations. We give God praise for his glory. We give God praise and glory for his word. Amen. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for listening to Royal Daughters today. I want you just to know him, because if you know him, you're going to be happy. All right, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.